2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Calls Fantasy Basketball podcast, sponsored by Overlay DFS. Overlay DFS, the home of Stardom Sit'em Daily Fantasy Sports with Progressive Jackpots. OverlayDFS.com. And welcome back, everybody. My name is Kevin Allen. I'll be your host today, and I've got my man season-long Cez on the line with me, and today we're going to be talking some season-long fantasy draft information for your fantasy basketball team, and we're talking first round picks.
You don't understand. I am so excited that basketball's here. I mean, I love NFL. You love NFL, but my favorite part of the NFL is the prep season and getting everybody ready for the season. And the fact that we are here 3 weeks before tip off, doing this again and talking a little hoops and talking about the first round of fantasy basketball, this just gets my juices flowing, man.
Well, yeah, fantasy basketball, you know, season-long fantasy basketball is picking up steam. Listen, you know, we're all deep into our fantasy football leagues right now, and you know, you've done your draft, you've done your prep, your team is pretty much on, autopilot at this point.
Right. You just leave them in there, you make your few pickups. Waiver wire is so easy. You know, there's the same five guys, you know, there's the five guys that did well that week. You know, you put a dollar bid on a few other guys, but now we can actually do some real research again. And fantasy basketball is growing by leaps and bounds.
Now, before the podcast started, you and I were talking off air, and you know, there are two types of formats really that are very popular for fantasy basketball. And I assume not everybody really understands, knows what fantasy basketball is and all of that good stuff. So tell me about the two different formats that people play, and which one are we going to be focused on? I know which one we're going to be focused on, but there's good reason for it. But there's a couple of formats that I want you to tell me about those two formats.
Okay, so with season long, with DFS, we know how it works. It's a daily night. You put in your lineup, and it's over the next day. With season long basketball, there are two major formats. There is a roto format where you draft your players and you accumulate points for the whole year. Okay, that's category A. I don't usually love that. I love more of the head-to-head format, which is what makes it fun. When you can play your buddies, when you can, you know, compete against your office mates and really have that sense of head-to-head competition. And within that, there's two ways to play fantasy basketball. There's categories, usually 8 or 9 categories, and whoever wins the most categories in a given week will win that matchup. Or there's the one that we love, which is like fantasy points basketball, which is basically you accumulate fantasy points for all the offensive and defensive categories. And those fantasy points at the end of your head-to-head competition will yield you either one win or one loss. And those categories are the standard categories: points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, and three-pointers made.
Very cool. So, yeah, there basically, The one category, the category based, it's really just about picking guys who do really well in certain statistics and
you which know, is great. 3-point some
shooting
people
percentage.
Love it.
Yeah, that's one way to go. Now I'm going to blow your mind. And the other way being more like DFS, which is what we're going to focus on, of course, because shit, that's what we do. But you want me to blow your mind? You said roto style. Do you know what the term roto comes from? Rotisserie, like where that originated, why it's called that?
Is it it's a baseball term, correct?
No.
Okay, so tell me about it.
I'm about to blow your mind. I mean, everybody talk.
Screw my head on.
Get your shit on, man. I'm going to blow your mind. Everybody talks about rotisserie leagues and roto this and roto that. And no, most people don't understand where that term came from. Do you know what that started? Because the first people who ever played in sort of what was essentially a fantasy league used to meet up in a rotisserie chicken place, like down the street from their house to
kind
of go over shit.
Dude, that is, if that is true, that is crazy.
It has nothing to do with any sort of statistical word. There's like, everybody gets it wrong. It's just a bunch of dudes like in the 60s who had first invented this concept would they'd get together at some rotisserie chicken place that they enjoyed eating at, and they would check the stats and do their scoring from the newspaper over there. There's no analytical reference to that term. Every time people use the fucking term, it actually pisses me off because I think no one understands.
Well, no, you know what? People are going to listen to this podcast, and then they're going to tell their office buddies, hey, that's what the term means. It's a good Jeopardy question.
Now, I love Boston Market.
They still have those?
Chicken is fucking awesome. Now, they just closed the one up the street for me, but like a month ago. They do still have them, but like a month ago, they closed the Boston Market up the street. I'm so mad. And now I can't have any kind of rotisserie action at all because my favorite roto chicken place shut down.
I mean, you know what? There's going to be vegans watching this, man. So you're just alienating the audience. So with that said, you want to get into our first round? This is one of the craziest first rounds of fantasy basketball that I've seen in a long time. And what I mean by, you hear that every year, it's crazy, is that the first round is loaded, but there's warts on every player. And I sent you a copy. We've been looking at the ADP of what the pros are doing. It looks quite different than my first round, wouldn't you say?
There are some significant, I have some issues. So yes, there are significant differences. Absolutely, between where you're picking. But, you know, anybody who watches the Bold Call, anybody who watches and has followed the Bold Calls podcast in season-long fantasy football already knows that season-long says, and the geek, we don't go by ADP consensus.
We respect it.
We understand it. It's important to understand, but we don't go by it. Why? Because if we did, we would have wound up with a bunch of fucking turds in our lineups, stinking shit up. Devonta Freeman, O.J. Howard, all of these turds that the market loved that we didn't love in fantasy football because, you know, you can take a deeper look sometimes. You can't always beat ADP. It's very much like the odds makers. It's very much like the handicappers for sports. There's a wisdom of the crowd thing going on. But the issue with ADP, and I think the reason it's beatable, is because there's also a sort of groupthink that happens where when you see a player is consensus this or that, then you feel like you need to take them there because that's what the consensus is telling us.
Well, a lot of people haven't looked at ADP yet. So this is good. This is going to be their first exposure. Now, for those playing in the DFS Army Coaches Challenge League with me, this is going to be tough because they're going to know all my guys. But that's fine. You know what? We choose in life. We're going to be a fantasy basketball player or are we going to be an analyst? And I have chose to be analyst and I'm still going to try to beat them. With that said, also, you know, a reason that that fantasy basketball is becoming popular is because some of you, your football teams are 1-4, 2-3, you're kind of out of it, a lot of injuries. This is a great way to get into another fantasy sport, kind of get a second life. And also, this is an important distinction in the two ways to play fantasy basketball, is that you could do something with weekly changes where you set your lineup on Monday and it's good for the whole week. Meaning that sometimes you're going to have to decide, do I play player A that has 4 games in a week or player B that has 3 games in a week? Now, the guy with less games might be a better player, but he has less games. So those are the decisions you have to make. The other form is daily changes, which is a lot of maintenance, and I love that. But it just may, you know, for the casual player, weekly changes is the format that I recommend.
And that's really what we're going to be talking about here in terms of this breakdown as well. I too would have an issue with daily. There's no way I could keep up with that. So,
weekly,
you know,
so
once
much
a week,
better.
Sure. Every day, another story. So let's just jump right into this thing.
All right.
And start talking about, I'm going to kind of go from the ADP side and then I want you to give me your.
Okay. Cause I was going to throw up the banners of my, yeah. So you can do it like that. And then I'll give you my, we'll go one, like who's the ADP number one overall. Then I can give you my number one overall.
There we go. So just getting started. We're talking first round, season-long fantasy basketball draft. And the top guy, according to ADP, according to most rankings, according to pretty much everything, is Anthony Davis, the center/power forward
okay,
for the Los Angeles Lakers.
And that's a great pick. And I have Anthony Davis a little bit lower. And we'll get that. You know what? Maybe the better way is for me to go by my rankings, and then you could tell me where they are in ADP. All right? Because okay. Anthony Davis is a really good example. But my one overall is going to be shock you. It's Karl Anthony Towns, center
Hold up.
Okay.
Isn't that dude that Jimmy Butler said was so soft he didn't even want to be on the same team with him?
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know what? And sometimes lighting a fire, but we don't care about soft. We care about fantasy production. And we care about, all right, so a big theme, if anyone that is even a casual watcher of the NBA understands that fantasy basketball and the NBA in general has become a game of what they call load management. The superstars no longer play 82 games. They scale back their workload in order to hold them for the playoffs. Now, we know Karl Anthony Towns, great player, hasn't translated that into Minnesota Timberwolves wins. He doesn't get load managed.
I assume that's because he's soft.
Fine, but he's still giving your fantasy production. He's never, you know, he's been a slow starter in years past, but if you go Karl Anthony Towns at one, first of all, the position scarcity. You and I talked about this off air. Position scarcity is a major thing. Centers dry up super quick. Now, Anthony Davis, as you brought up before, he's a center also, but he is in real danger of being load managed. I would put his under over at games played at like 70. And that's, you know, baking in minor risk for injury. Karl Anthony Towns is 23 years old. He's an Iron Man. I know you said he's soft. Last year, he averaged 24 points, over 12 rebounds, gave you about 3.5 assists, a steal, and a block and a half a game. I mean, these are elite numbers, and he played in, I'm just trying to see if I could see his games played from 2018. He played in 77 games, never missed a game in his three previous seasons before that. So I'm not saying when Anthony Davis is on the floor, he's not going to outproduce Karl Anthony Towns. He is. Anthony Davis is going to get you 50 points, 20 rebounds on certain nights. He's going to be a complete monster.
He's such a beast on the ground.
You're
saying it's because I'm choosing a team on Sunday or Friday for the entire next 7 days, and because there's a very good chance that every single week of the four or three games that Anthony Davis is supposed to be a part of, let's say of the four games, that he will be rested for one of them.
I'm just saying there's risk for that more than there is Karl Anthony Towns. When you take when you take a player in fantasy football at 1.1, when you take Saquon Barkley at 1.1, yeah, you sure, you hope he finishes 1.1, but you don't expect that. You expect him to finish in the top six. And if you could take anyone in the top five that finishes in the top five, that's a win. There's no doubt Anthony Davis is going to be better than Karl Anthony Towns, in my opinion, and obviously you feel the same way. It's that Karl Anthony Towns, I think, is going to be more durable, and he's at no risk to sit games.
That's fair. That's fair point. So there's a bold call right there. Jumping down to consensus, ADP number four.
So that's where Anthony Davis is. He's ADP four. Okay, so 1-4, same thing. You know, if you didn't take him at one because you wanted one of the other guys, I get it. I'm just saying, I want safety in the first round with upside. He's going to give it to you week in, week out. He's the stud of his team.
I like it. Now let's talk about position number two ADP wise, and number two pick. All right. I missed out on the center. Now, let's say Towns or Anthony Davis goes off the board. Towns goes off the board one. Davis, whatever. Right? Number two. Now, you mentioned positional scarcity. Tell me more about the center position and why I have to be so concerned about a drop-off. Like, what happens if I don't get a center in the first round? Who am I looking at? I'm looking at a little Meat Hands Gobert as my next guy. Like, what's the story?
Now, Rudy Gobert, as you get into the second round, he's a great fantasy center. And again, you'll get a center in the first couple rounds. It's when you get into round three, if you've gone forward or guard forward, that now there's a lot more risk. Now, in most leagues, you don't have to start more than one center. You can start more than one center. If I'm picking on the end turn, on the 12, 13 turn, sometimes I'll go center, you know, just to get them both out of the way. But my second ranked player, it's James Harden is just too good. Now, I know they added Russell Westbrook in the offseason and he's a usage monster, but this is James Harden's team. James Harden, he doesn't really get load managed either. He'll miss a game here and there, but he is just a beast. It's going to be, there is some risk and some unknown with Russell Westbrook coming to town, but I would feel pretty darn comfortable taking James Harden at 2 overall. It's just, you set him in there. Last year, I don't think he missed too many games. I'm looking it up as we talk. And again, I could see some people taking Anthony Davis at 2. I'm just not comfortable with that. You know, I could see taking James Harden at 1 if you really wanted to. In 2018, he played 78 games. And, you know, in the years before that, he's played all 80 except for maybe 17 he played. He missed a few games. So he doesn't miss games. And the Rockets, in a very loaded Western Conference, they can't give away games. They're not going to be able to afford to sit guys. It's just a loaded West.
Interesting. Yeah, because I thought there'd be a little bit more concern with James Harden now that he's got, like, basically you're throwing two of the biggest ball hogs in the NBA together on the same team. It's going to, there. I mean, the memes, just, I could just think of the memes between these two guys and just, you know.
Well, you know what it is? It's that Russell Westbrook is kind of, he has a little, let's call it a little dirt on him right now, meaning he's been called the ball hog. He's saying that you can't win with him. Kevin Durant left him in Oklahoma City to go play with Golden State Warriors. He was traded by by his team in Oklahoma City. I think he wants to prove that he can be a good teammate and still dominate. I mean, triple-double Russell Westbrook will happen on occasion. It's just not going to be every day. It's James Harden's team, in my opinion.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. So let me ask you then about another player whose team it is, and that's Giannis.
Okay.
The Greek freak.
That's who we have at 3.
Okay, there you go. Okay, because I'm like, dude, I thought this guy is, I heard that he's a jump shot away from being the next Michael Jordan. That's what I just heard on Bold Calls Fantasy Basketball Radio.
Yeah, I mean, Greek freak could go 1 overall, and I would have no problem with it. He's the guy. He does every category for you category guys. He doesn't hit threes yet, but he's adding that to his game. He just dominates. He plays all 82 games. They're a good team, and the offense runs through him. I would have no problem taking Greek Freak at 1. I think that if you take Greek Freak at 1, when it comes back around at pick 24, ADP has, I mean, you're going to be looking at, yeah, you'd be lucky to get like maybe a DeAndre Ayton there. I'm looking at the ADP. But after that, if he gets scooped up, if it's a center hungry league, you're in real trouble. You're looking at reaching for LaMarcus Aldridge, or just waiting for like someone like the Knicks center, Mitchell Robinson, or, one of the Nets, the Nets have a two-headed monster at center this year. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, it's great to have the Greek freak. He gets you mega fantasy points, but you just have to be really careful at pick 1 to pass on center.
So for all intents and purposes, though, at pick 2, if you're, let's say pick 1 goes Davis or Towns. At pick 2, in choosing Harden/Giannis, you're running into that same scenario of, all right, my options at center aren't that great. Once I'm starting, you know, I'm like lucky to get, DeAndre Ayton in round 2/3 at this point, or I'm waiting for like Al Horford in round like 5 or 6. It's not going to go pretty.
Right. And, you know, Al Horford is now on the 76ers. He's not, you know, it's, he's,
oh, that's even worse.
Yeah. He's going to be sharing, you know, that he's going to, it's a great like real life signing, but it's a very difficult situation for fantasy. Like he took a major hit in fantasy this year.
Yeah, not a good scene. Not a good scene. And the last thing you want to do is wind up with like Serge Ibaka as your starting center in one of these leagues. You wait a little too long. So let's talk about the 4th pick overall. So, in the Cez rankings, we've got Towns, we've got Harden, we've got Giannis 3. 4 overall, is this the Davis spot?
Yeah, this is, you can't let him slip past this point. And what's really attractive in these leagues is the double position eligibility. So, yes, Karl-Anthony Towns is only eligible at center, but Anthony Davis does have forward center dual eligibility. And this is key because in a given week, so you could still go draft a center and have Anthony Davis play forward. And in those weeks where you're just totally thin at center, you could put him in there. Dual eligibility in fantasy basketball is adds just another level of value. So that's why Anthony Davis, if he is dual eligible, I'd have no problem taking him at 1, 2, or 3. It's just that the risk of load management, there's going to be games where they just say, okay, this is a LeBron night, Anthony Davis sits. Okay, this is an Anthony Davis night, LeBron sits. And especially if they start winning. And then the real danger, you know, Anthony Davis has been a little soft as far as injuries. I mean, he's a tough, he's a warrior. That preseason game I saw last week where he had 5 dunks in the first quarter. I mean, you're just going to love having him on your fantasy basketball team. But he's going to be frustrating if he misses, when he misses games.
And, you know, Anthony Davis, again, he's a guy who I don't want to call him soft, but he comes out of games. I mean, it's quite known in the DFS community. See, here's what I'm gathering from all of this, especially at the top of these first round. You know, in the DFS community, it's very well known that, you know, Davis, any given day, you know, he like leaves, he has a concussion, he hurts his leg. Like, he comes out of games a lot. So yeah, he's like
Julio Jones. Like, you remember when Julio Jones gets hit, he like kind of gets up all gimpy and, you know, it just... It's like that. Like, he's a monster, but you hate to watch the game.
It is scary. He's always going to the back to get looked at for something or another. So there's that fear with an Anthony Davis. But again, what I'm trying to reconcile is why some of these guys, like, why wouldn't I just take the most expensive DFS guy? Because the scoring system is the same. So, like, on any given week, let me throw these numbers out there at you. And Harden's up there too. Anthony Davis, let's call him a 12K player on DraftKings or FanDuel, right? The next guy might be like 11. Anthony Davis is a solid like 7 or 8% salary higher than the next best guy on any given slate. And then you get pretty much it's going to be pretty rare to have other players over 10K. I mean, 10-5 for Giannis, you'll get you know, that level sometimes. If Harden, let's say Westbrook goes down and Harden's the only guy, he'll shoot up to like 12K. on his team, but Joel Embiid he's not quite there again, more like a 10K. So and Towns is also, he's right there, it's like a 10K. He's going to come in about 20% below the cost of Davis. Now, again, the main difference being that what that tells you is Davis should be expected to score 20-ish% more fantasy points every single game compared to these other guys. But the difference is injury risk, games missed risk.
Right. That's and also position scarcity. Position scarcity is major. I mean, when you take, you know, all these other better players, you could still find a center on the night that is, you know, you can find at min salary. Here, you just may not find that guy, you know? I mean, it's that simple. You mentioned in the beginning our friends at DFS Overlay.
And overlay, I don't know, DFS.com.
Yeah. And the DFS overlay, DFS.com game. Have you checked it out yet?
I did. I actually checked out after we talked about it on the Vegas Lines Pass. I went and checked it out, and their format's really cool. I do have to say, you know, it's super easy. Basically, they give you about 20 choices of various players to choose from, and you're just going to choose between two. Like right now, even right now on their scene, you're choosing between Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo for tonight's NFL game. Which guy is going to score the most fantasy points? Or Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham Jr., for example. These are little choices. And apparently, you're in a little tournament. You know, a couple. The tournament changes size, but it's interesting how that happens.
So what I'm going to do, Geek, is I'm just going to do their commercial read, and then we'll come back and talk about it, because I want to explain to the people what the game is about. Exactly. And then we can just come back and talk about it for a minute before we consider our
cool
countdown.
Yeah. Hit so it. Yeah.
Okay. So tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win on salary cap DFS sites? Tired of having your salary cap lineup out of the running to win money in the first 5 minutes? Does playing salary cap DFS feel like a job and not a game? You could relate to that. Want a fantasy game where the pros with 150 lineups and computer-based algorithms can't dominate? OverlayDFS.com has a new revolutionary start-sit game for fantasy sports. They are the home of the single-entry GPP. Here's how you play. You make simple start-sit decisions from over 30 matchups that they present to you. A win, a loss, or a tie will be awarded to your overall record for each decision. Records in the top 10% of users will usually win 9 times your buy-in. A 12-0 record will win a guaranteed progressive bonus. All matchups are player versus player. Who will have the most total fantasy points? Usually, if you go 8-4, that's good enough to cash. Sometimes you can go 7-5 or 9-3, depending on the week. You make 12 picks in the matchups options listed below. For example, this week, as you alluded to, you're going to pick who's going to have more fantasy points, Baker or Jimmy G, Chubb or ODB, Breida versus Raheem Mostert, and Kittle versus Landry. The object is to stay consistent and finish in the top 10 of the field and win 9 times your buy-in until the stars align and you finally go 12-0. Right now, the perfect 12-0 in the $109 game will win you the hugest progressive jackpot of over $26,000, and then that resets when somebody wins it. They have buy-ins in all levels, and if no one hits the perfect 12-0 record, the bonus carries over. Right now, don't get shut out. Visit overlaydfs.com today. Geek, I played it last week. I didn't do so good. I have to admit it, but I see where I went wrong. It's you really have to treat it just like you would a season long. Who's going to be best on that day?
Yeah, you can't just choose the best player. You've got to look at the matchups. Yeah. You've got to look at the projections. One of the cool things about DFS Army subs, we have projections for all of these situations, so it will help make those decisions. We've also got Vegas props for pretty much any of these questions, so there's a lot of different ways to approach it. I did have some members of DFS Army tell me they joined, and a couple guys said they had gotten, you know, they hit the 10 out of 12, and they had been, basically, if you finish in the top 10%, it's interesting the way they run it. You're going against however many people join the contest. If you finish in the top 10%, you get a certain prize, so I just have to beat out 90%, but the prize is almost 10x your initial deposit, and then if you hit 12 of 12, you get a piece of this progressive jackpot. You know, so it's a very cool system. It's totally different from DFS. It does cut out the sharks. It cuts out people like me from using my algorithms to sort of hammer a bunch of different lineups. And
but you know, it's fun. I like it because it's fun. That's the best part. I had like a lot of fun doing it and rooting on these different matchups. And like,
well, yeah, if you like betting props and parlays and things like that, and that gives you something to a rooting interest. And even looking at it tonight, you know, they have a bunch of different sports.
Baseball,
so it's not.
Ones.
Yeah, it's not even just football, it's baseball, and it crosses over a few different things. So the key is to look at these choices and really feel like, ooh, you know, if I have 6 or 7 or 5 or 6 that I feel really strongly about, that I feel like I'm like most of the way there, and then I might make 2 or 3 lineups varying some of the rest of the choices. So very cool site. Everybody check it out.
All right. So when we left off our countdown, this one's going to surprise you a little bit. My number 5 overall player is my favorite player in the NBA, so I could be a little biased here. I admit it. The Joker. Nikola Jokic is my 1.5 overall, dual position eligibility. To watch this man play basketball it reminds me of a form of basketball. The over-the-shoulder passes, the bounce passes through people's legs. The guy could shoot. It's his team. Now, the downside is sometimes you'll get single-digit points, but on those nights, you can be sure he'll grab 15 rebounds, he'll have about 9 or 10 assists, a block, a three. Dual position eligibility. He's never going to finish as the number 1 overall player, but he's going to finish in the top 7 or 8 when it's all said and done. Nikola Jokic, the Joker, baby. That's my 5 overall.
The Joker, not a guy they rest very frequently out in Denver.
They need him.
Yeah, so he's out there on the court every single day. He gives you center and power forward eligibility as well. I like to play with the Joker. Guy is one of the new breed of basketball player that can, at 7 Euro. Feet tall, you know, make assists and shoot the outside threes. And
do you remember when there was like hardly any Europeans in the NBA? Now they, you know, foreign players dominate the NBA. I love it. I mean, I love how they play basketball. I love the NBA has never been better than it is now. I know a lot of people, I'm like, oh, do you watch NBA? Do you play NBA fantasy? They're always like, well, the NBA sucks nowadays. I'm like, no, you haven't watched it in the last 3 or 4 years, man. It's like the best it's ever been. The players are so skilled. Listen, do they not call traveling where they should? Sure. But it's such high flying. The shooting has never been better than it is before. I mean, these guys make shots. I mean, the game, they're thinking about adding a 4th referee because the game is no longer compact. It's spread out so much from the Steph Curry's hitting the 38 footers that they're thinking about adding a 4th referee.
I don't know how those guys run around the way they do, man. Give me 5 minutes of that run and I'll be dead.
Yeah. A guy moving up the rankings that is skyrocketing. He was, when draft season started about a month and a half ago, he wasn't even in the first round. But Steph Curry, man, he's moving on up my draft board.
Yeah, I mean, are we on to number seven here? And Steph,
six, because, six. I moved him up. Yeah, I flipped him.
So just to speak of Steph Curry for a second, is the reason he's moving up because people are starting to click that? Oh yeah, wait, Kevin Durant isn't there.
Correct.
And, oh yeah, wait.
Clay.
Clay is out for a long period of maybe the season, but for a long period of time. And oh shit, who the hell else is going to be doing the scoring for this team? So. They're going to look at Curry as a massive guy who's going to increase what he did last year when he was sort of sharing the spotlight.
And part of load management is that you win enough games. The mindset is this, that who cares if we're the 6 seed, the 3 seed, the 4 seed? Yes, we want to have a home seed, but it's more important for us to be healthy going into the playoffs than it is to have a home court game. They are no longer in that position, the Golden State Warriors. Like you just alluded to, those players are out. They added D'Angelo Russell, okay, so over from the Nets. They still have Draymond Green. They signed some other key ancillary pieces. Andre Iguodala is gone. Steph Curry's not going to be able, outside of injury, a small injury risk, he's not going to be able to sit games, especially back-to-backs if they lose the first one. I mean, this could be a season where Steph Curry averages 37 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, Curry does get injured, though. He's got that ankle. He's got that ankle that
gets hurt. When he started his career, he did have Dorito ankles. They would crack, very easily. But he's been a decent Iron Man, And he knows that at this point with Durant leaving, it needs to be his team. I mean, if you're sitting at pick six, I mean, you see the options on the board.
Well, let me throw a couple of names out there that I might have been sniffing around. And you tell me why Curry is better. So I was looking at Joel Embiid, and I know he's kind of a load management guy too, but they're saying he's going to play back-to-backs now. He's a fucking beast when he's out on the court. What's wrong with taking the center here, even though, like, I outside of the injury risk, or is that the primary thing? Because I think Embiid gets you a position of scarcity and also sort of a beast at the position in this spot.
If we knew Joel Embiid was going to play 75 games, he would be by 1.3, 1.2. Like you hit all you made the bright case for Joel Embiid. Everything you said is true. Now, those of us who have owned Joel Embiid know that, oh wow, we have a 4-game week coming up. Oh wait, he's only played 2 games in this week. We get screwed a lot. They've added some new weapons there. He shows up out of shape. I mean, there's no fans of the NBA that have a dislike for Joel Embiid, the player. They love watching him play, but in fantasy, you cannot be relied upon as a top 5 pick because you just don't know how many games he's going to play. There's the injury risk. Again, I told you, this is the most loaded first round I've ever seen. Joel Embiid could be the #1 overall player after 2 weeks of fantasy basketball. And you could be kicking yourself that you took a LeBron James at 1.8 or something like that. But as this fantasy basketball season moves on, it happens every year. Now, if it doesn't happen this year, that's fine. I have no problem taking him anywhere in the first round. I have him a little bit lower down, which we'll see.
Yeah, okay. That's a fair point, and absolutely. And it's just I only mentioned it to continue to emphasize how critical it is in the style of fantasy league that we're referring to here, to where it's a once a week choice, to really worry, consider how often a player is going to be out there on the field. So I'm down with the Steph Curry pick at 1.6, though. Steph has been a lock button play in DFS anytime pretty much Kevin Durant was out for the Warriors. And now Kevin Durant is out for the season.
Yeah. Now in New Jersey net or a Brooklyn net.
Out for the season for the Nets. So, and out forever for Golden State. So you will have a lot of beast mode, put the team on your back and carry it games for Steph Curry. You're going to see him popping threes, 10, 12 feet beyond the 3-point arc, just fucking tossing up threes like a lunatic.
Yeah. They're going to need him. They're going to need him this could be a situation where Steph Curry averages over 4.5, 5 threes a game. I mean,
we could see a Harden level consistency out of Steph Curry this season. And as a matter of fact, if somebody wanted to flip-flop Curry with James Harden.
No problem with it.
I don't have any issue with that either.
You see what I'm talking about? Yeah. Like, there is no reason to want a top 5 pick this year. I'm good with anyone in the top 12. Moving along is the least sexy name in my top 12. I mean,
oh, no.
The oh, least no. sexy name, but cover up the name and let's look at the production.
I have a bad feeling about this one. I have a bad feeling.
Bradley Beal. Yep. Now, see, that's the reaction I get. But the guy averages 25, 6, and 6, plays 82 games, doesn't get load managed. Now, there's been some trade talk around him, and he could be a trade candidate at the deadline. And that is an issue, but it's literally, I'm trying to think of the football equivalent to drafting. It's just a plug him and play him guy. It's not sexy. It's almost not even fun. Who wants to watch a Washington Wizards game? But he's just so rock solid, and he gives you elite fantasy production.
Let me throw this out there. I have some counterpoints for this one. First of all, on the pro side, is this a thing where because he's eligible for shooting guard and there are so few good eligible for shooting guard players, that, you know, we're elevating this guy a little bit above maybe where he should be just because he's eligible for a difficult position?
For our purposes, we're just going to say guard and forward, because the leagues that I play in, again, you can play in position specific.
We're just talking guard here.
Yeah. So I didn't take that into account. And that would push him up even more if you say there's a scarcity at that specific part of the guard. But games played, he hasn't missed a game in 3 years.
Man, that's unsexy. If I wind up with Bradley Beal as my first round pick, I'm not even roster baiting to that team. At that point, I'm just like, sorry, I can't even get excited.
Okay. Numbers last year, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 5.5 assists.
I mean, hold up. Wasn't John Wall injured for most of the season last year?
Yes. And there's no sign of him. I don't even know if he's coming back this year. We'll look him up as we're talking.
I have to look him up because Beal became. See, I only remember it. I'm more from the daily fantasy perspective, and I do remember Beal lock button when Wall got hurt. Right, so fine, that's cool. But isn't it? Won't they have a point guard? Like, if Wall, what's Wall's deal? And if he's not coming back, don't they have someone else at this point coming in to kind of man the point? That's good.
Yeah, I mean, they have Ish Smith, who is. You know, it's fine. It's okay. I mean, this is Bradley Beal's team.
Yeah. Is that what's going on? What's the story with Wall?
Here we go. John Wall is expected to miss all of the 2019-2020 season.
Okay. That increases the sex appeal here just a little bit.
Okay.
Because Wall was the guy that was kind of like, Wall has a good game, this guy doesn't. He was the yin to the yang here.
The worst contract in sports history. They are on the hook into the salary cap for $40 million this year on John Wall.
Have you met the Knicks? Because they're like, hold my beer. We just gave, like some fucking turd who's never going to play $40 million. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, but he's not a turd.
I could probably spit out about 10 deals that the Knicks have done in the last 10
years. Let me ask you a question. Knowing the load management issues, would you rather have a sexy LeBron or would you rather have what we just talked about, Bradley Beal?
Oh, no, I'm not down with LeBron at all. I think LeBron is going. LeBron, to me, is that guy who's going to get overdrafted based on the name this year. There's no way that LeBron, who's quote unquote saying it's Anthony Davis's team, where he's acknowledging that he's getting old. He's acknowledging that he can't do as much as he used to be able to.
What kind of numbers do you project for LeBron? Because I have Brett LeBron at 1.8. By the way, it sounds like you're convinced a little bit and you're okay with my 1.7 Beal. Beal's going 1.9 at ADP. I have him a few spots above that.
I'm accepting the Beal play. I didn't realize that Wall was done for the season. And without Wall out there, Beal, again, you know, I can make maybe an argument for Dame Lillard.
Well, we'll
in
get
that
there.
Same area.
We'll get there.
If you're telling me shooting guard and point guard are the same thing for the, you know, there's some argument to be made for Dame Dallas.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think he's a little banged up too, so he gets pushed down a drop. But yeah, I'd have no problem with it. Again, the same theme over and over again. The
guys
first
play
round,
every day. Yeah.
First round's loaded, and there's warts on all of them.
Absolutely.
That's why
getting back to LeBron, I want to like, that's a very important situation because I think he's going to be rested more than ever.
Yeah. Now ADP, he's 6. We actually have him at DFS Army. We have him 2 spots below ADP for the reasons you just said. We want someone else to take him. Let's face it. LeBron is going in the top 5 picks of all your drafts. He's going to go pick 3, pick 4, or pick 5. At pick 6, if he falls there, someone's going to take him. We're not. We're not taking him. We're taking Bradley Beal ahead of him. We're taking Steph Curry ahead of him. And you just nailed it. I don't think that LeBron... What's the under-over for LeBron James games? What do you think it is?
I'm going to say 70. No, no. Okay, I'm going to say 65.
Okay, that's really low. I was going to set it around 72. But, I mean, because other than last year, he's been an Iron Man. I mean, the guy just doesn't get hurt. So... chances are he'll play no back-to-backs that are on the road, or sorry, at home. You know it's but yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. If they come out to like a blazing start, like the Lakers are just crushing, right? Because as we know, Paul George is not going to be with the Clippers for the first month and a half of the season. He won't be back until late November. So I think the Lakers are really going to dominate early in the season, and then that's when the load management's going to start. With LeBron James,
maybe you trade him after like a month into this. Well, we'll have that discussion on the Bold Calls podcast.
Totally. Like, if you can get 2 weeks out of the seat of LeBron James and then just trade him for like 2 second round type of players, we'll do a trade cast for that.
Yeah, we'll cover that down the road. So we're up to 1.8 LeBron James.
Are you okay with LeBron here, or are you still would pass at this point for like Joel Embiid?
I'm fine with the play, but I think Joel Embiid and LeBron James will play the same amount of games. So at that point, I'd rather take Embiid and the center. I just think they're going to play the same number of games. And there's other guys like this too. We could talk about Kawhi Leonard.
Yep, Kawhi. But he's okay. Spoiler alert: he's out of our first round.
Yeah, I mean, we know about Kawhi and all of his concerns and mysteries. He's basically the girly of this draft. Where you're like,
you know
what?
That's a great that is a great comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Like, should be in the first round based on talent. The load management and quad injury stuff really pushes him out. Except with Gurley, we're on record as saying we didn't even want him in the first two rounds. That may prove to be bad, but in the late second round, we were taking Gurley. We were taking him.
And he wasn't he was there. Like, you could take him midway, but. Yeah, you could take him like midway through the second. He was getting snatched up right before like some way worse players, quite honestly, started popping off, like that Devontae Freeman and, you know, George Kittle, Zach Ertz kind of zone.
All right, so we have LeBron at 1.8. I'm still comfortable there. He's still going to, you know, even with Anthony Davis there, I mean, what's his floor is probably 22 points. 7-7 still. He's still going to have 7 rebounds, 7 assists. On nights where he scores 18, LeBron, he'll probably have 12 or 15 assists. There's a lot of talk that he's going to be the point guard, and that's really interesting too. On certain nights, all the offense will flow through him, even though he's not the number one option. So I still
expect him to get you, when he's out there, LeBron James should get you 45 to 55 fantasy points per night.
Totally. Without blinking an eye.
Yeah,
so our number 9 guy is... someone who's outside of the top 15 in ADP. He's actually 17 ADP, but I just don't see a situation where you should let Russell Westbrook fall past 9. He's still Russell Westbrook. He's still one of the best athletes in the game. And James Harden, sure, he could average 35 points, but the Rockets are going to score 100 points a game plus. I mean, they're still fast-paced. Russell Westbrook is going to get his. This might be a situation where we actually have two 30-point scorers.
We need a Bold Call like graphic for this video where like some like
Bold
fire
Call.
Alarms.
How about this? Fire.
There it is. Fire.
Bold Call.
When you're jumping the guy who is currently anywhere from ADP, you know, 20, 21, and you're putting him all the way up to 1.9, that's a Bold Call.
Yeah,
you're saying that Russell Westbrook will exist and will prosper alongside James Harden. That's very bold.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's if you want to play the ADP chicken game and let him try to fall to the second round, best of luck to you. I just think that you won't be upset if you draft Russell Westbrook outside of the top 5 or 6 picks. I would be okay with you taking him ahead of LeBron James. There's no way Russell Westbrook's playing anything less than 78 games. I mean, he's not getting rested. He's an Iron Man. He's in the sickest shape. He's one of the best athletes. And there'll be games where they're Russell Westbrook games. I mean, you're still going to get your triple doubles here and there. They may not be as consistent. A lot of leagues reward for triple doubles. There's only three guys on the Houston Rockets that I want in fantasy at all. You know, the two
Capella,
Capella. That's it. Who we have? It's one of our sleepers to go get this year.
You are clearly a Damian Lillard hater, as you're jumping all the way down to ADP 2021 to get Westbrook here instead of taking the low hanging fruit. Damian Lillard, who's always there, never hurt, still his team, does have some disappointing game, but he plays every single day.
Yeah, Lillard's a little banged up in the preseason. I had him originally at 1-8. I moved him down a drop. He's still in our top 12, which we'll get to. He was back at practice, but he's had a hamstring. Those things tend to linger. He's not exactly young anymore, but yeah, I mean, like I said, no bad picks in the first round this year. It's totally loaded. You're ecstatic if you have pick 9, 10, 11, 12, because you're going to get two good players. Not finally, but in pick 10, here's your guy.
Ah, finally.
Joel. Yep. I mean, what a steal at pick 10, huh?
Listen, this guy's out there getting you 55 fantasy points when he's out there. How often he's going to be out there? Don't know. But when he is out there, he's getting you 50 fantasy points every single game. The 76ers, team on the rise. I heard that Ben Simmons is out there practicing his jump shot this year. So maybe a couple extra wins there, a little bit of extra juice for the team overall.
Yeah, I mean, they added Al Horford, though. It's another big scoring option. They lost J.J. Redick.
Yeah, I mean, with Al Horford, I'm curious as to how he will exist on the court with Joel at the same time. And are they going to play? Is Joel going to kind of step into the power forward position, kind of do like an Anthony Davis type deal where, you know, they might bring in, I forget the name of the other center at the Lakers, but Zeller?
Oh, you're talking about like
Ankic?
You're talking about on the Lakers?
Yeah, like how Anthony Davis kind of moves from center to forward, power forward.
But here's
they
the difference.
They might do that with Joel.
Anthony Davis is truly a forward, like an athletic 7-foot forward that happens to be 7-foot, so they put him at center. Joel Embiid is like a lumbering center. He's like more of a traditional center. He doesn't play forward.
That's fair.
Yeah, and you know the worst thing is that he tries to shoot threes. I know everyone's like, well, you add three-pointers, but he just shoots them at such a low percentage. I mean, when you see Joel Embiid shoot a three, you're just like, ugh. And they give him the green light to take him. Hopefully he'll scale those back. But we know the upside. He could be the number one overall fantasy player. Joel Embiid is my number 10. Moving along, we finally have arrived at your favorite player, apparently, in the first round, which is Damian Lillard.
I've been waiting for him. Dame Dollars.
Another boring pick. You know, no one gets to see Portland play because they play on the West Coast.
They suck.
I mean, they make the playoffs. They were the 3 seed last year. I mean, you know, they had the... Suck. Yeah, I mean, they're just not fun to watch. They're totally sort of, you know, they're like a very boring team to watch. But except when you actually watch them and you watch your number one overall pick, Dame Lillard, put up 38, 39 points. And then add, you know, a handful. I mean, he's such a great player. He's so fun to watch. He's one of these guys that came from a small school and just dominated the NBA right away. Like I said, I moved him down a little bit because of an offseason hamstring injury. At this point, you're fine. He's back at practice. Do you often use Dame in your DFS or
Dame isn't as consistent? His salary will come in significantly less. So like when you're talking about this group up here, Dame is not on the same salary level on a daily basis on DFS sites as a lot of these other guys. Like, there's a noticeable and significant drop in how much you're going to have to pay. Like, he'll be more of an 8,600 type player on DraftKings, let's say, maybe even, you know, 8K, 8,500, whereas some of these names are going to take you up to 9,600, 10K, 10,500. So he is, of all of this group, the first I would call of a bit of a step down in salary level compared to a lot of the others. Like Jokic, you're paying 10K for every time plus. But Dame, you know, there are times when you can get afraid. And he's not as consistent of a scorer, you know, as a lot of these other guys. He's always going to produce something. But in DFS side, we need guys who hit 45 plus frequently, and that's not him. He'll do it once in a while, but he's more of a pretty consistent get you 38 to 42 kind of guy.
All right. And you know, again, he's one of those guys that I don't like taking in the first round, but anytime he has fallen to me in some preseason best ball or in just in any sort of mock drafts, at the end, I really like my team. He's a really great way to start your team at the end of the first round. Now, my 12th overall player to end the first round, who I'm taking here, his ADP is 22, but I'll need to explain this. Andre Drummond is the sneakiest fantasy pick. He is so rock solid. He has the center eligibility. He is the last of the elite centers. After this, the center position falls off a cliff. So if you are picking at the 12-13 turn, take Andre Drummond. You will not be so. You might say, oh, on paper, I got Drummond. He delivers. Andre Drummond is he barely misses games. Last year he got up to a little bit of a slow start because Blake Griffin was there, and Blake Griffin definitely dominated a lot of touches. And Blake Griffin played an uncharacteristic amount of games last year. They've already said they're going to scale back Blake Griffin a little bit. Blake Griffin's another one of these guys that's likely going to get overdrafted. Again, his ADP is around 22. So I understand, you know, that this is a little bit of a bold call, but I love Andre Drummond. In my rankings, I could put him as high as 8. I actually ticked him down a little bit just not to, you know, you don't want to go too far away from ADP. Listen to games played, Geek, in the last 3 years. 79, 78, 81, 81, 82, 81. I mean,
guys out there every single game.
Every single game, 17 points, 15 rebounds. He still gives you, he's not a zero in the assist game. He'll still give you one or two assists. He'll give you a block and a half, steal and a half. It's one of these where you'll just, now you can build the depth. There is depth at forward and guard later on in the draft. Trust me on this one. Yes, it would be great to take one of these flashy forwards, but you are going to be sick to your stomach if you don't take Andre Drummond. Is that your cat in the background? Your mic's off, Geek. That's right. Anyway, so without the Geek, we're just saying that, trust me on this one. I've done drafts where I passed on Andre Drummond and then just said, oh my God, I ruined my whole season. Take Andre Drummond at the 12-13 turn or earlier. He is the last of the elite centers, and then you can build around him.
Can't go wrong with Drummond with all of that consistency. Now, I'm going to mention just, I'm going to throw out there before we wrap it up. We've got through the first round.
And just to let you know. Go ahead. Yeah, I know what you're going to ask.
I was going to just say, who are some of the people, like, give me two or three names that almost made the top 12 for you.
Look at this. On the cusp. On the cusp. Right on the cusp of the first round where Kyrie Irving, without Kevin Durant there, I mean, he's just going to dominate, man. He's so good. I know.
Well, isn't Kyrie an injury guy, a guy who's hurt all the time?
I think he's a guy that doesn't like to play through injury when he's kind of like that guy at you used to play with in high school that if he didn't get enough touches, he would take his ball and go home. You know, he's that guy. But I think now that it's his team, he's in Brooklyn, he's presumably happy, he's got his boy KD, he wants to show the world that he's going to play through some more dings this year. Yes, he's been an injury guy, but, you know, I almost put him in my first round. But for that exact reason, you don't have to take him in the first round. If you start your draft, Kyrie Irving, Andre Drummond on the 1-2 turn, oh, he's going to be so sick. Kyrie's in for a career year this year.
I like that thought process, even though I think yes, he's definitely an injury guy. And I don't like to assume that people change based on situations changing. I think we run into a lot of problems when we're assuming things in fantasy sports. They don't always come true. And we make these assumptions like, oh, now he'll play through injury. I don't know that he's
right. No, that's it, right. It is an assumption. It is an assumption. It's total narrative street. Yeah. But can't you kind of see it?
I could see it. Can't you? But I could see a lot of things. Wishful thinking, and then they don't happen. So,
right. Well, I mean, how far are you going to let Kyrie Irving fall? I mean,
I'm going to give you my football example of assumptions. Everybody assumed that all of a sudden OJ Howard was going to be this guy, and he's going to step up, and he looked good for a couple games. And even as you and I were talking about that specifically on our fantasy football breakdowns ahead of this, I said, I don't see why, what's changing? Like, Winston never throws him the football, and he hadn't done it, and he never does. Like, we're all assuming things.
But here's the difference. OJ Howard was clearly always going to be the number 3 option on that team. Kyrie Irving is this is
yeah,
his
it's a total different situation. This now let's talk about the other two. I love Luka Doncic.
I mean,
okay, Luka Doncic does not sleep with the fishes.
No,
at all.
Luka Brasi.
Yeah, Luka Doncic doesn't sleep with the fishes.
I mean, take him in the first round if you want. I mean, he's
I love his youth. I love the fact that he can be so better this year than last year. Oh, and by the way, Kristaps
is coming back.
Is there? Who's he gonna fucking wait? You're telling me that he's got a young, athletic, fucking fellow European, speaks, you know, Kyrgyzstanian, just like him, fucking same language. They're going to be like, yeah, bro, throw me the football, throw me this basketball. I fucking push it in the hoop over there. Yeah, bro, send it this way. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there's going to be a lot of that.
That sounds like the Russians on Grand Theft Auto.
All I know is that there's going to be a lot of that. Yo, homie, pass me football. Pass me, I keep saying football. Pass me basketball. I throw it in the hoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be a lot of that.
Yeah, man. You know what? That's a great impression, and it's a great take. Luka Doncic. I mean, I would have no problem anyone taking Luka Doncic, and you know, from pick 9 on.
I want to raise up in my rankings because you got me all like upset about the Dame Lillard. I want to put Doncic. I'm putting Doncic where Lillard is. I'm putting him okay.
Doncic.
I speak with my American accent. I say it in American. When I speak in my Latvian
Luka
accent.
Doncic.
Luka Doncic. That's all I mean, in my Latvian
think
accent.
Think about this. He went like 4th in the real draft. Like, not the fantasy draft. In the real NBA draft, he should have been the number one overall pick. I mean, it was crazy to me that, and you know, the Hawks traded him away for Trae Young and, you know, some other assets. But
who did the Knicks pass up? Did the Knicks pass up Luka Doncic to get like Frank Ntilikina or something?
That draft was the one that I believe the Knicks took Kevin Knox in that draft. They picked 7th. They didn't have an option to take them. So Luka Doncic, Kyrie, and Drew Holiday, man, he might get overlooked. I'm on board with him as a first round pick, but he'll definitely go early 2nd. That's why I have no issue.
Drew Holiday has that same thing going on that you've got going on with Bradley Beal. Look, everybody forgot.
By the way, you
got
to laugh from Bink Bros.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Bink Bros. But Luka Doncic, so with he enjoyed the accent. See, everybody loves.
Well, I enjoyed
accent.
It.
There we go. Here's the deal. Wait, the name Drew Holiday. When did he have his best games?
I'm going to guess when Anthony Davis was out.
Yes. Now, who is not going to be playing with Drew Holiday this whole season?
Let me think about this. Anthony Davis.
Yes. Yes.
Now, they added Zion. They added Brandon Ingram. They have Big Baller Brands himself over there. They added a lot of pieces, but Drew Holiday.
Let me stop you for a second. I have a pair of Big Baller Brands.
You do?
I think they're. Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I got them for the 500. Now, they've gone down in price since then. Do you think I made a bad investment? I thought they were going up.
You thought it was like Bitcoin?
Yeah, you could buy them now for like $20. But at the time, I'm still holding on to mine. I think they're going to go up. I don't wear them because I don't want to fuck them up.
Yeah, no, I mean, but you agree, though, Drew Holiday, probably he's going to be the best second-round pick in all of fantasy.
This is what I love. I love these situations where people forgot. People ADP forgot.
16.
Yeah, I mean, he's being forgotten. He's being forgotten because everybody's like, well, you know, he's a pretty good player, and most of the time, yeah, he had a good run last year for a couple games, but, like, you know, normally he's a second, but people forgot. When Anthony Davis was gone from that team, the salary, and I'm only going by salaries, shoots up on this guy from, you know, the usual sort of 7,500 up to 8-9 lock button play levels on DFS. So I think he's that level now for the whole season.
Okay. And the last thing I was going to talk about is guys that are currently going in the top 12 or 13 of ADP they're just dropping overrated first round.
Yeah, give me an overrated to finish this up because I got to run. We have 3 minutes to go.
All right, here we go. Devin Booker, currently ADP 11 overall. I mean, sure, it's perfectly fine. He's definitely a stats guy. I don't think he's like an elite player, certainly an elite fantasy option. I'd rather have him in the second round. Kawhi Leonard, for some reason, is going at pick 12. I don't have him as a first 2-round pick. all the load management stuff we talked about. You just don't know when he's going to play. He's got a quad issue. And PG3, for some reason, his ADP is 13 overall. He's not even going to be playing until November.
Do people just not know that he's hurt?
They know. They don't care. They feel like, hey, I got an elite player. I could stash him. I could draft around that because they don't like the options after. I mean, so I would rather take Drew Holiday than any of these guys.
I mean, Kawhi, I totally get the drop. And we'll talk about this in the part two.
Mm-hmm. We'll do a part two half of the round. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But Kawhi, I mean, it makes sense. This guy, you have no clue when he's going to play and when he's not going to play. Sometimes they don't play him two games in a row for rest management. You're like, what the fuck is that? I don't know. Wait, he didn't play Monday. Now he's not playing Wednesday, but he'll play on Friday.
He's under over 68 games.
Yeah, he is the worst of the guys to have on this kind of a format where you don't know what he's going to be doing. So totally get that. I'm excited to see who's going to be in round two. For everybody out there who's going to be playing season-long fantasy basketball, get into it. If you're listening to it and you're not playing it, check it out. What's the big deal? It's a new – we love fantasy sports, right? We want to watch these basketball games with a rooting. We're going to be playing DFS basketball all year. So when you have a fantasy season-long team, what happens is you get to know the players a little bit better. You get a feel. You get a sense of their ebbs and their flows. And I think it helps make you a better daily player, as well as just having fun with your buddies kicking their ass at season-long fantasy basketball.
This was fun, man. This is fun. I love talking basketball, man. I'm so excited for the season. I mean, I still love football, but I love fantasy basketball. And we have this great league going right now, the DFS Army Coaches Challenge. Maybe we'll open up a second league. Who knows? We've had a tremendous response. People want to play and they want to beat the coaches. So
let's throw some more leagues out there. Let some of the, well, if the members want to play in some leagues, well,
we'll see.
We should do a championship. We should do all kinds of fun things. So we'll see how it goes. But
Thanks to our sponsor, OverlayDFS.com. Go play that. It is an awesome new fantasy game. I am loving Overlay.
Plus, they sponsor this podcast, and that's awesome.
So I'd be playing even if they didn't. I love their game. So,
but not me. I only play at sites that will sponsor our podcast.
Fair enough. You are the geek. You are the goat, the geek, the guru.
And I enjoy fantasy basketball almost as much as I enjoy doing Eastern European accents.
Ooh, it's close.
So that's a lot.
All right, my friend.
Here we go. All right. Until next time, bold calls. DFS Army podcast, bold calls out. Take care, guys.
Peace and love.